As we continue our wisdom journey through the book of Job, we find Job is sorrowing, and for good reason. He's lost everything, including his children. But his suffering is about to increase with the onset of physical torture. He's also about to demonstrate that even in the midst of such suffering, a child of God can glorify the Lord. We're in Job chapter 2 today, and Stephen called this lesson a monument of praise in the valley of despair.
The citizens and farmers of Enterprise, Alabama, had a big problem. Their entire economy rested on cotton, and that crop was all the farmers had ever planted. But then this little beetle I read about made its way north from Mexico and on into Alabama by the year 1915. A few years later, all the cotton fields were eaten bare by this little bug known as the boll weevil. Well, the farmers are now facing a bankruptcy and the rest of the town along with them. But instead of packing their bags and leaving, one farmer decided to plant a different crop, a crop that would not be destroyed by the boll weevil, a crop that had been promoted by a former slave turned schoolteacher by the name of George Washington Carver. Well, at the end of that year, the farmer's peanut crop was so prosperous, he paid off all his debts and had money left over. And the next year, all the other farmers began planting peanuts, and they all prospered. And now, for the past 100 years, if you visit Enterprise, Alabama, you'll see a monument placed in the middle of this town in appreciation for the boll weevil. Imagine people raising a monument as an act of gratitude for a crisis. Well, that's a crisis that led ultimately to a blessing. Well, unknown to a successful farmer and businessman by the name of Job, a deadly pest is moving into his territory. And it isn't a beetle, it's Beelzebub, the devil himself. And in a matter of only 39 seconds, as we've seen, Job learns from four messengers that he's now bankrupt and he's bereaved of his 10 grown children. He doesn't know it yet. But God has allowed the devil to take everything Job has in order to reveal the power of God in the life of a faithful follower. Now, Satan has predicted that Job will curse God if he loses everything. So far, Job has proven him wrong. At the end of chapter 1, we read these amazing words: "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Now, the trouble is, of course, the devil isn't finished with him, and God is even going to allow more suffering. So chapter 2 and verse 1 opens by saying, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro from the earth and from walking up and down on it.'" Now, of course, God knows where Satan has been. He knows Satan is still watching the life of Job, and Satan's no doubt infuriated that Job has not blasphemed God yet, even after all he's lost. So the Lord comes right to the point here in verse 3. He asks Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, the answer is obvious. Of course he's been considering Job. Well, one author said this would be like asking freshman guys in college, "Have you considered girls?" Well, what else are you going to do during your freshman year? Satan, of course, has been doing this. Satan's furious, in fact. He responds in verse 4, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life." Oh, this is wicked. Satan is implying here that Job was more than willing to sacrifice the skin of his children as long as he keeps his own skin. Satan adds here in verse 5, "But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. In other words, make Job suffer physically, and he's going to surrender his faith. He'll walk away from you, Lord. But once again, God delegates authority to Satan, while at the same time he limits Satan's activity, verse 6. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life." Well, as soon as Satan gets permission from God, and by the way, don't overlook that, beloved, only after Satan gets permission from God can he do anything to Job. Verse 7 here tells us, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." This Hebrew word here for sores can be translated boils. It's the same word used for one of the 10 plagues back there in Egypt in Exodus chapter 9. These boils are only the beginning. Job is going to suffer, if you catalog it all, 25 different ailments during his time of suffering. He's going to experience itching over in chapter 2, loss of appetite, feelings of dread and fear in chapter 3. He's going to suffer from dizziness and insomnia, hardened skin that's going to ooze with pus over in chapter 7. Now, I'm not trying to be gross. We just need to realize how much he suffered. He'll struggle in chapter 9 with not being able to breathe. Way over in chapter 19, he's going to struggle with weight loss, constant pain, high fever. Even his bones ache and burn, he'll say in chapter 30. Satan just turns the corkscrew of suffering, hoping that Job will curse God. Verse 8 back here tells us that he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. So get this here, Job at this point isn't lying at home on clean sheets. He doesn't have private medical staff. He's sitting in the ashes. This is a reference to the landfill in the ancient towns in the Middle East. Each town had a place outside the gates where garbage was taken. And periodically, the rotting garbage would be burned for the sake of sanitation. This is where the dogs gather to fight for something to eat. This is where lepers, this is where beggars live. This is now where Job is. He's sitting in the softness of ashes from a recent burning of trash. I want you to get a good look at Job here. His entire body is oozing with open sores. His eyes are swollen from crying. His clothing is caked with dirt and blood. His breath is short and strained. His face is gaunt. His cheeks are sunk in. Look at him. Here sits a man introduced to us earlier as the greatest man among all the people in the East. And now look at him. He sits here at the town dump. He's rocking back and forth in pain and despair. He's oblivious to the dogs and the beggars and the lepers. He's scratching himself with the blunt edge of a piece of pottery for some kind of relief. Don't forget, his mind is grieving over 10 fresh graves. His heart is broken over the loss of them, the loss of everything. He remembers every child. He remembers every special moment when he had the blessing of God. That's it. That's it. Where is God? Maybe God has not been worth following after all. And I can just picture Satan leaning in. Surely, Job will curse God now. Well, here in verse 9, Job's wife arrives and begs him to curse God, to abandon God and die. I think she's saying what everybody else is thinking. I think she's one of the most misunderstood women, by the way, in the Bible, which is why I'm not even going to talk about her in our study today. I want to take our next program to study Mrs. Job. But for today, here Job says in verse 10 to her, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" Frankly, I can't believe he said that. Let me repeat it. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? And then we're told here, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Oh, let me tell you something, beloved. Job has just raised a monument of praise in the valley of despair. I mean, you'd think at this point he would throw in the towel, he would quit, he would curse God, yet he raises his voice and effectively says what you and I need to say today. God is worth our worship on the mountaintop, and he is worth our worship down here in the valley as well. Well, with that, we'll have to stop for today. Until our next session together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Have you ever been at the point where you were tempted to throw in the towel? Instead of giving in to despair, that's an opportunity for you to follow Job's example and raise a monument of praise in the valley of despair. This is the Wisdom Journey, and Stephen Davey is teaching through the entire Bible. This journey is made possible by those who support us financially. Learn how you can join the crew at wisdomonline.org or by using the link in the show notes. Be with us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.